1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26b to verse 28 is our text. Ye are one body of Christ. Ye are the body of Christ. Verse 26b, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Ye are the body of Christ, is the title of our Sunday school exhortation, taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26b to 28. William MacDonald said, well, if we cannot see another Christian honored, we should not feel, if we see another Christian honored, we should not feel jealous, but we should rejoice with him. There is a sense that the members of Christ's body love the prosperity of other members. It is understood principally that God distributes spiritual gifts sovereignly according to his goodwill and wisdom. As such, members are at peace because they submit to the common wisdom that God knows better. As such, there is a willingness to submit to God's wisdom. And so to rejoice with the members in honor is a natural spiritual response. Thank God for honoring his faithful ones, is a text that is given here. Verse 27, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. The Apostle Paul presents here the truth that the church is the body of Christ, and that the members individually formed that unified collective body that Christ purchased by his blood. He highlights the whole and he highlights the particular members. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. This body lived for the interests of God and his kingdom. And there is a particular, or there is particular usefulness and function of the individual members that contributes to the progress of the body of Christ. And that's very mysterious. Very mysterious. In the sense that it is God that brings people to church. And each one different. We have our different personalities, different makeups, different backgrounds. And God sovereignly brings together different people. And he will sovereignly also work out so that particular usefulness and function of individual members would contribute to the progress of the body of Christ. So if we have understood this, then individual members would endeavor their utmost to contribute to the well-being and advance the divine purpose of the body for the glory of God. In other words, we know what the Lord wants us to do. And therefore, the Lord also enables us. And together, you would be able to see how the Lord puts all things and does all things well. May the Lord have full sway over his people, that their service for him may be blessings extended to a dying world. So there was a man. He was sharing his testimony. that he went to a particular church in a particular neighborhood. And when he went and he entered into that church, he was particularly moved, because he says that those who were the ushers in the church, there is a particular dignity to the way he carries out his service for the Lord. You see, before that, he went on a Europe tour. And he went all over Europe. And he saw all the beautiful cathedrals. And yet, he don't feel any warmth or any attachment or any spiritual understanding in all those big buildings that he saw all over Europe when he went for the tour. But when he came to this particular church, and when he saw the men who were there, out there, serving the Lord, he says that there is a particular difference in those men. They are different. They serve the Lord. And I can see, and you know, this man became a Christian. And not only that, he was a police officer. And he also began to serve God, hearing the call of God. And then he began to serve. And he began to share, the Spirit of God came to fill him. And it all began because he saw someone there in that little local church who was serving God. The Spirit of God was with him. And he served with much dignity. And it touched the heart of this man. So he was relating his story. How then the Lord helped him and he began to serve. And then another pastor who was dying heard him speaking, sharing the word of God, and said, "Oh, let me call him to come." Because that man was going old, and in his old age, he was praying that there would be someone that would come and that would fill the pulpit. And so this man described how the Lord led him. And he saw that particular usher that day, and it changed his life. God has set first apostles, verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. William MacDonald again observed well. The apostle now gives us another list of gifts. None of this list is to be considered as complete. As God has appointed this in the church, first apostles, the word first indicates not all are apostles. The 12 were men who were commissioned by the Lord as his messengers. They were with him during the time of his earthly ministry, and with the exception of Judas, saw him after his resurrection, Acts chapter 1, verse 2, verse 3, and verse 22. And again he said insightfully, but others beside the 12 were apostles. The most notable was Paul. There was also Barnabas, James, the Lord's brother, Silas and Timothy, together with the New Testament prophets and apostles, laid the doctrinal foundation of the church in what they taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2 verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So the Lord established his church by raising the apostles, the prophets, whereby the word of God is being given through this holy men of God. And finally, he said, in the strict meaning of the word, we no longer have apostles. In a wider sense, we still have messengers and church planters sent forth by the Lord. By calling them missionaries instead of apostles, we avoid creating the impression that they were extraordinary. They have the extraordinary authority and power of the early apostles. Why were they different? Well, God used them to authenticate the ministry of Christ. God used them to write the New Testament books. All 27 books of them. All the 27 books were written by men whom God used through the Holy Spirit to pen down what God has for his people to learn out of his holy word. Prophets are men of God who are the mouthpiece for God. They speak as they were instructed by God. They were the representatives of God to rebuke sin and to foretell the future. Hebrews 1 verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He's describing the Old Testament scriptures. Before the completion of scripture, prophets provide these divine instructions to God's people. With the completion of scripture, the people of God can rest in the open revelation of his word for their divine help. So God speaks, and we have, through the writing of holy men, the word of God for our instruction. And so Paul says in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 to 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is given, God breathed to us by the inspiration of God, and therefore is useful to teach us the principles of life, the principles by which we are to live, the principles by which we are to be guided. That's the word doctrine there. You see, we go wrong because the principles are wrong. And so the doctrines, the principles are very important. The very basic tenets by which we are to live, the doctrines, God would show us the right way, the principles of life, and then he would show us what's wrong with our life for reproof. See, the Word of God is so powerful. When we read the Word of God would show us how life ought to be lived, what are the examples, and then he would show us what's wrong with us for reproof. And then the Lord will also show us how to correct when he's shown us what's wrong with us. That's why, you know, we are taking time to read the Bible. Why do we take time to read the Bible? Because by that, the Lord would instruct us and show us what is wrong with our lives so that we can be corrected, our lives can be made good by Him for reproof, for correction. Those things that were not right, He reproves us, and when we are reproved, then He also shows us how we can correct them. And for instruction in righteousness. So, haven't been corrected. Notice, we are willing to change. The word correct means that we are willing to change. And He will show us how to change. And after we have, there is that willingness to change, and you know how to change, and then what is the right way to live? The Lord would show us the instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect. The word there means complete, maybe mature. That we would be productive for the Lord. We talk about Israel and how, you know, Joshua was productive for the Lord. How did he do so? Well, the Lord gave him the word of God, isn't it? To show him what he ought to do, what is wrong, how it can be corrected, and what's the right thing to do. So we have the perfect book, which is God's word, given by the breath of God, and we have the perfect process. Right? God handles or deals with us by a perfect process for with doctrine, with reproof, with correction, with instructions of righteousness, and with the perfect man, isn't it? That he would make for himself a person that would be useful for his own glory. May the Lord bless his prophetic word to instruct and strengthen God's people. After that, miracles and then gifts of healing. Matthew recorded our Lord sending his 12 disciples and powering them with gifts of miracles and healing. And he called them, Matthew 10 verse 1 says, unto him his 12 disciples, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manners of disease. It is notable to observe these gifts that were given to authenticate the gospel message, that men everywhere would repent. Go ye, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. Wow, the Lord gives great power, isn't it? Leprosy is a disease that is incurable. And the Lord gave the power to cleanse the dead. How can the dead be raised? Again, the power of God to cast out devils. These are special powers that were given to the apostles. It's recorded in Acts chapter 3 how the lame man at the gate Beautiful was healed. Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Why was God doing this through his apostles? Why did God give them special powers to enact all this out of the world supernatural healings? It is to authenticate the word of God so that we would know that indeed this is the power of God. And if we would believe by simple faith, well, the Lord would save us. The Apostle Paul also caused the young man Eutychus to be miraculously raised from the dead. You remember he was preaching and it was after midnight. And so everybody was tired. Next day he was supposed to leave them. And so that message stretched after midnight, and this young man was quite very tired. And he fell from the second lattice, third floor, fell down and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him and healed him. For such power of miracles and healings, you say, we observe, gradually wanes towards the close of the Acts of the Apostles. It was a special epoch in the history of the church before the scriptures were completed that the Lord gave this special power to help us, to point us to see where is the truth? Who is the true Christ? How can we receive that special power of healing for our sins? May the Lord strengthen His people and build up His church for His glory. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen Thy people and grant to us Thy grace in this new week to follow Thee. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord.